The year is 2002, and a giant, spectacular, colorful, flashy blockbuster hits the theaters.
This week, we're gonna rouge our knees and roll our stockings down. We're covering Chicago.
How Star Wars is it?
Well, hello there, Mike.
Hi, Josiah, and hello one and all to our listeners. From near to far.
From near to far. From here to... From hither to yon. You ever been to hither and yon?
I've not.
Me neither. Oh my god, I just... I went to look up the movie Chicago, and the last... My most recent tab is, what are some real world examples of factorials?
Was that on the main feed last week?
I think that was the end of the main feed. Was us? We started talking about
that can't be because it was with Shannon.
Oh, you're right. You're
I think
right.
That was on the this Patreon.
You're right. It was on the Patreon. Oh, because we recorded the Patreon after.
Yeah. It was a late.
That's
night.
Why. Yes. Okay. Anyway, that's funny. Go listen to the Patreon.
But if you don't want to pay to listen to extra stuff and you just want to listen to this, we'll tell you what it is. This is our podcast. Mm-hmm. It's the only podcast, and it is called mm-hmm. How Star Wars Is It? And the yes. premise that we always do really
we
well.
We always do it. Yes, we do.
Is we take any topic, and ultimately every topic, and rate it mm-hmm. On a scale of 1 to 10 against mm-hmm. the platonic ideal that is Star Wars. All things Star Wars boiled down into a chili. That's a perfect 10 out of 10, and we're rating things against that 10 out of 10. And this week, we're doing a movie from 2002, and no, it mm-hmm. is not Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, calm down. Chill out. Yeah. It is the movie from 2002, Chicago. The movie musical, we should say.
Academy Award winner for Best Picture movie musical.
That's so crazy that I mean, it's not that crazy because it's a great fucking movie.
I think I might have to put this movie in my, like, top five.
Oh, yeah?
No, like, we were watching it and I was just kind of, like, overwhelmed by how many moments. I was like, oh my god, this is the best movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So here, let me just get things started talking about this movie by showing you, and I'll tell the listeners what my notes for the movie. You know, a lot of times when we watch a movie for the show, I take notes on my phone. I'm sure you do the same. I don't know if you can see this yet. It's gonna
maybe take the brightness down a little bit.
That's all the notes I wrote. I wrote the title, Chicago, and then I wrote, wow, this movie starts. And then I wrote, funny exterior shot, lol. And that's all I wrote.
That's amazing. You got too into it,
The couple of exterior shots that we see do look sort of like paintings, but some of the stuff is moving. They almost look like those those paintings that you plug in that you see at like Chinese restaurants of like it looks like a sort of a light as behind like a translucent waterfall or whatever.
Sure. Now here's the deal. I have watched this movie recently.
That's right.
I didn't watch it like this week because we had kind of a busy weekend and a busy week in general.
But you watched it only a couple months ago.
And then I also got the COVID shot.
Ah.
And the flu shot yesterday.
Yeah, that kicked my butt when I did both.
So I'm feeling, I was like, I was going to try to watch or listen to some things between yesterday and today. And then I was just like, I feel like shit. And so I just didn't do anything. But I have seen this movie recently. I'm familiar with it and with the songs. And this movie rocks. It really does. And it's so, here's what we should talk about. We should talk about the fact that it won the Academy Award for Best Picture.
Yeah.
It was the first musical to win Best Picture since Oliver in 1968.
Yeah.
Now, these days.
Nowadays,
there's no way a musical would win Best Picture.
I know.
Because everyone is ashamed. We haven't talked about this yet.
We haven't really.
Show. We haven't discussed the other, but everyone's ashamed to be a musical.
Yeah.
Did La La Land win Best Picture?
No, it famously was awarded Best Picture only to have the reveal that the envelope said the wrong thing.
Right.
It was Moonlight.
It was Moonlight that year. Right. And then there was a lot of controversy.
And I admittedly have not seen La La Land. I've seen Moonlight, but I need to see La La Land because I hear it is very
good. I did the reverse. I didn't see Moonlight, but I did see La La Land. And La La Land was fine. It has the unfortunate distinction to like immediately sort of be culturally irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That sort of like, Oscar thing.
The Oscar thing.
Man, have you seen the... did you watch the Between Two Ferns movie?
Yes.
The blooper reel at the end. That it goes around TikTok like once a month, and I always watch it. John Legend, it just shows a bunch of clips of either Zach or the guest breaking, and he's talking to John Legend, and Zach is the one who breaks, but he says something like, "Do you think that your work in La La Land really paved the way for white people to explain jazz to black people?"
God. I mean, that is the problem with La La Land in general. Yeah. Like, immediately the problem with La La Land was that, like, everyone, like... It was a controversial movie because some people were like, I love this. And some people were like, this is really white. And like the one black guy in it is like a sellout and also is kind of a villain. And then it's just, I don't know if it was to its maybe credit. It was more like Ryan Gosling explaining jazz to Emma Stone and less like white people explaining jazz to black people.
Right.
Although he was kind of shitty to John Legend where he's like, it's about the music, man. And John Legend's like, whatever. It's not the best movie, but that was the last one I can remember that was up for like Best Picture.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's been any since then really that have even been close.
Also, this thing was nominated for like 100 things. It like Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, Adapted Screenplay, Art Direction, Cinematography, Costume Design, Film Editing, Original Song, and Best Sound. And it won 5 of those.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Dude,
it's a fucking movie musical.
So have you seen the stage show, any kind of version of it?
No, this is what's interesting is that No, I've seen Cabaret, not Chicago. Sorry, I don't. For some reason, I get those two confused.
Yeah, they've got similar vibe,
and they both start with C.
Yeah.
No, I haven't, but Charlie has. And when we watched the movie, she was like, "What's so interesting about this movie is that the stage show kind of sucks, and the movie is really, really good.
Yeah,
because the movie like turns it into a story, whereas the stage show is sort of a like."
It has a story,
a cabaret.
But it like asks more of you to see that.
Right, fill in the gaps.
And yeah, it is whereas a bit more of a cabaret. It is like, you know, the signs when you're in New York. I have not seen it like a big production of it. I've seen like a college production. But
sure.
When you're in New York and you see the signs, it says things like, Broadway's sure thing. You know, like... Go see Chicago if you haven't, because like you'll like it. The dancing is bar none. You know, it's kind of like a dance
show
that
great.
They make the dancers sing, you know? It's not like a terribly difficult vocal expenditure.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it was nominated against, but adapted screenplay is awesome that it got a nomination because I think it almost deserves the win because it made something out of that source material.
Yeah, totally. Because the source material really is just like a collection of songs.
Yeah.
Like the stage show is more of a collection of songs
now,
that have a connected story, but aren't like, you're not telling a story. And this movie really does tell a story.
Now I know sometimes we abbreviate our show, How Star Wars Is It, to Hiswi.
Hiswi.
But did you at any point when you saw this for the first time think Hispi as in H-S-P-I-I as in how sucker punch is it? Because I know you're a sucker punch head.
I'm a sucker punch fan and I'll go to my grave.
You're a real sucker
right now.
For sucker punch.
I'm a sucker for sucker punch. Hit me in the tummy.
I only had that thought because I knew I'd be talking to you about it, but it does kind of have that thing of like there are two realities happening, you know?
Yes, yes,
and
totally.
One is fantasy. Another thing that I didn't even really, I mean, you know, you clock it, but you don't think that it's a reversal. For the most part, the characters in the real world So listeners, if you haven't seen Chicago or if it's been a while, it takes place in Chicago in the 20s, and it's all around like murders and in a prison and things. It's kind of like a dingy world, but like everybody, when they have like a number to sing, like in a musical, when that, you know, the sort of thing you hear about musical theater is it's a play, you're talking until your character is so overcome with emotion that they have no other choice but to sing instead of talk.
Right.
In this movie, that is the case, but it's almost like you're so overcome with emotion that not only do you have to sing, but you have to like hang lights and invite an audience and put on a whole show. Like
the numbers
are this kind of fantasy world at a jazz club cabaret.
Yeah.
And there's lights and there's color, and like it cuts in and out of all of that. So like, I'm also really glad it won best editing because like you'll see a conversation carry out and it's between, you know, a two person conversation, and there won't be a beat missed, but like part of a sentence is in like this big, colorful, flashy whatever, and another part of the sentence is, you know, like I'm thinking of Cell Block Tango. There's all the women telling their story about when they killed their husband or whatever, and then every so often it'll cut back to like the prison and they're just like playing poker or whatever.
Yeah, it's so cool.
But the other half, Cell Block Tango, like truly like gave me goosebumps. It's like the production of it is just like so incredible.
Okay, this is okay. Yes, this movie, so is a success in so many ways. I want okay. Can you guess any of the? So this is back in the old days, right? This is 2002, so the Academy Awards of 2003 were for the can you guess what the other five or so sorry other four movies were that were nominated for Best Picture?
No, I couldn't even do a stab, but if you could give me clues of like what types of movies they
were. Yeah. I'll give you so Chicago won, obviously, and this is, I can't believe it used to be only five movies.
Yeah. I know like that, like way in the olden days, it was like 8 or 10 or something.
Yeah, true. I know it's like the recent change back to 10, but okay, so think like what was a big blockbuster trilogy coming out around this time? 2002.
Well, there was Star Wars, but
okay, not that one. Something that's a little more.
Oh, of course. It would have been was it Fellowship of the Ring? Two Towers.
Next one?
Yeah.
It was Two Towers. Okay. Yeah. Two Towers nominated for Best Picture. I don't know what this one is. We got the next one is starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Daniel Day-Lewis, and
Gangs
Cameron
of New
Diaz.
York.
Yes. Then we got this one, which I don't know. Oh, this one. I don't know what this movie is. Meryl Streep, Julianne Moore, and Nicole Kidman. Called The Hours.
Oh, uh-huh.
Which I don't actually know what that one is.
I haven't seen that, but I'm aware of that title.
And then the last one, we got Mr. Respect My Neck himself.
Oh,
do you remember
Adrian Brody?
Yeah, and who was?
Was it The Pianist?
It was. Excellent work. You got all of them.
Respect My Neck.
Cannot come on SNL.
God damn.
I the other day I was like hanging out with some friends and I was like, who did we bring up that we were like, oh, he's not, I think it was Chevy Chase. We're talking about Community. And we were like, I was like, oh, did you know he's not allowed on SNL? And they were like, what? And so we looked up everyone who's banned from SNL. And it's a fun list.
Yeah.
And only one of which I'm like, that's fucked up that they banned her. And it was, why am I blinking on her name? The one who like ripped or.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Sinead the picture
O'Connor. Of, Sinead O'Connor. Thank you. That one's fucked up that they banned her for that because she was just doing a protest thing.
Yeah.
But then there's a bunch of the other ones that were just like being shitty and aren't allowed on the show anymore, including Adrian Brody. Anyway,
Catherine Zeta-Jones wins for Best Supporting Actress, and there is another Chicago actress as another in that category, which is crazy.
Yeah, Queen Latifah also got nominated, which is wild,
dude. You just can't take your eyes off Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I know. She's just electric in this.
I don't know how. In fact, it's almost funny to me that like it's a supporting, because I see Roxy and Velma as kind of on equal footing in terms of their presence. I suppose it does more follow the Roxy story, I guess. But
yeah, it feels like a two-hander.
Yeah.
And that's honestly kind of always how it's like marketed.
Right.
Even like in you know, even on Broadway or whatever, it's like, here's who's Roxy and here's who's...
Yeah.
What, now I can't remember. Velma, thank you. I don't know why I can't remember any names today. But like, it's like a two-hander where it's like, we've got these two hot stars. Yeah. Come see them both in action.
When they come out at the end and that huge, like, upstage wall of, like, light bulbs comes on.
The lights? They're insane.
The motion of the camera throughout all of those big numbers like...
It may be incredible.
Man, why is anyone else making movies where you just like set the camera down and say action? Like, are you kidding me? Like,
thank you.
Put some effort into it. This movie is like two movies.
Yes, it really is. At the same time, overlay on top of it. I saw this great quote through a tweet the other day that was like someone was posting, there were pictures from Jurassic Park showing really cool lighting from Jurassic Park.
Oh, I think I know what this is, but keep going.
Yeah. And then someone was like, why don't we get lighting like this in movies anymore? Yeah. Like, they're like, oh, it's so cool. It's so dynamic. And then someone who, I got to find out who said this quote.
I think I know the exact quote because I think I saw it today and I can't remember who said it either, but it was great.
So it was, it was the Lord of the Rings cinematographer.
Yes.
Andrew Lesney.
Oh, that's
so
right.
Someone was like,
to Viggo Mortensen, or no, to Sean Astin.
Yeah. So someone was like, hey, where do the, because the,
one of the nighttime battles, like Helm's Deep.
Yeah. Like Helm's Deep or something. And it was like, where does the lighting come from here? Because, you know, it's nighttime. So how does it look so good? How do we get the light everywhere? And he said, he's like, where's this light come from? And he said, the same place the music comes from.
Yes.
And I love that.
I think that is such a good mindset to have when making a movie.
Yes. It's so smart because he said it to Sean Astin. It's so smart because you're making a movie.
Yeah.
Why worry about realism?
Yeah.
Unless you are going for a specifically realist,
right?
I don't know, story or whatever. Right. But like, why worry about that when you're making a fucking movie?
Yeah.
Cause like, guess what doesn't happen in real life? A camera. There's no camera
anything
in real life.
Anything worthy of being put on film.
Camera is like cooler than real life. So you might as well make it dynamic.
Like, you know how they say of like good stories or movies or whatever is like, this is the day something happened.
Yes. Yes, totally.
Like, that's... Otherwise, it would just be like you walk around with like a little square around the front of your eyes and like everything's a movie.
Totally. And which is boring. And even like the most realist thing when the movie's striving for realism and it's like going for something very grounded, it still uses conventions of film in order to make you feel things.
Right.
So like, and this movie does it so well with the lighting, with everything, where it makes you feel things a lot. Now, you know, it is funny. We had Best Original Song this year. Did not go to Chicago. And guess what it went to?
2002. Was it any of those movies you've already named?
No.
Was...
Although there was from Gangs of New York, but it did not win.
It from... Was it a song like featured prominently in the movie, or was it one of those just like backwards ass like credits songs?
Here's the thing. I've never seen the movie, but this song is like a song that still gets played today on certain like music nights or certain like hip hop nights or like at certain clubs.
It wouldn't be Lose Yourself, would it?
It's Lose Yourself from 8 Mile. Can you believe?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's a good one.
That beat I Move On from Chicago, which I guess was the one they added for the
credits,
movie.
Credits, yeah.
Yeah, stupid. I hate when they do that. This shouldn't count. Honestly, that's how I feel about the... Wait, I can't even remember in Barbie if the Billie Eilish song plays during the movie or if it just
plays
in the credits.
It does play during the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember it as well as... I don't remember that song as well. I like Billie Eilish, but she's a little too soft for me sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm like, speak up, Billie. I can't hear you singing. Yeah. You're too quiet. I'm an old man now.
Renee Zellweger, John C. Reilly, Richard Gere.
Dynamite.
These are all huge, heavy home run hitters in this movie.
Yeah.
Mr. Cellophane.
All dynamite.
First time I saw it, was like, man, what the fuck is this movie? How have I not watched? I watched this for the first time in college. Like, I was maybe a senior. Yeah, yeah. And I just, like, you know, I had missed it.
Yeah, totally. Well, it was rated...
PG-13. And, you know, by the time college rolled around, it was interesting to me. It's not that, right. Like, I, like, couldn't have seen it. It just, like, wouldn't have really connected.
Totally. But, boy. Well, it's also, like... there, so this is, I remember seeing the, like, you know, poster for it, or like on the DVD or the VHS, yeah, probably, or the DVD at like a rental store, and I remember thinking like, oh, there's some hot babes,
yeah,
on
like
there.
A sex movie.
I probably shouldn't ever watch that one. It looks like a sex movie with hot babes. Yeah. And being like simultaneously very intrigued, but also like I can never watch
that.
I shall never, because it does have like them in their sort of, you know, vaudeville outfits, yeah, and their beaded fringe.
That's
it's
the other thing that
beautiful.
Like this it, to adapt it for film, or rather the stage show, you're kind of committing to a costume, mm-hmm, whereas like the film adaptation allows the story to be told just by nature of like locations and like outfits.
Right, totally. That's so true. Yeah, it's harder to do that on a stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, harder to do that on stage for sure.
The shit, what was I gonna say?
I don't know. I'll come back to you. Yeah, and there, you know, it's funny too, because we have some heavy hitters on the leads, but then there's also like the rest of the cast like rounds out kind of everyone else. You got Taye Diggs in
there.
Yeah,
Mary Sunshine is Christine Baranski.
Yes, you got Lucy Liu.
Yeah, right.
Is randomly in there. Like, he got some.
Oh,
some real...
and Maya featured on Lady Marmalade.
Oh, yes. True, true, true.
And Cheetah Rivera has a little cameo, mm-hmm, at mm-hmm. the beginning when they're like talking about Mama Morton, because she was mm-hmm. she was Velma in the original Broadway.
Right. Right, right, right. Yeah, this movie has everything.
Talked about, so that note I wrote was, man, this movie starts. You see the Miramax title card, and then you see the word Chicago in like blinking lights, and then the music for All That Jazz / Overture has already started at this point. Like,
right.
The letters of Chicago fade away, and then it's 5, 6, 7, 8. And it's just like, boom. It's just like going. It is definitively not Star Wars in that regard, because Star Wars has a whole like 2 minutes of words.
That's so true. That is so stupid that Star Wars started that way. I understand why, but like also what a boring way to start
a
movie.
It is like such a crazy choice.
It's such a crazy choice to be like, I know you came to the movies because traditionally you don't have to read.
Yeah.
But I am going to ask you to read 5 paragraphs real fast. Yeah. Over the course of the next 2.5 minutes. And also, I'm going to use a lot of words that you don't know what they mean
yet. Yeah, yeah.
But just like
we'll put those words in all caps just in case.
They'll be all caps, yeah, so you know they're important. But, and then later on, you'll understand.
But so, okay, that first scene is the All That Jazz, the whole big production. We don't even see Velma until she's on stage, but we see the people backstage going like, where's the Kelly sisters? And then like, mm-hmm, you see her car pull up and she's like, keep the change. And then she like walks in and it's only ever her feet like clip-clopping into the theater. And then the guy's like, hey, you're on in 5 minutes or whatever. And then we see her on stage as soon as the whole audience sees her on stage, and her sister's not there, and it's a little bit weird, like, what's going on? But she's just fucking killing this number, which, by the way, this is the thing I forgot a second ago. Did you know Catherine Zeta-Jones was, like, pregnant during the filming of this? She was, like, 4 or 5 months pregnant.
No, that's insane.
Yeah, there are some shots that, like, they used a body double for a wide or for, like, a behind shot, and then she's, like, waist up or whatever, but... like, you can tell that she is a dancer in this movie. But, okay, so in this first scene, they're doing the All That Jazz number. And our first instance of, like, a sort of playing with reality is you're watching Roxy watch from the audience. And then that second time through of the chorus of All That, instead of jazz, it's the jazz, and it's Roxy on stage singing it. It's like she's seeing herself up there, and then it cuts back and she's not, because of course it's Velma. But it's like, what a great way to tell us that there is a playing with perception of reality, and it all takes place on this cabaret stage, because she at least is in there in that first moment to kind of telegraph yes. that transportation, you know?
Totally. Oh,
God, it's so
honestly
good.
Genius. It's very well done. And then we have, we probably won't talk a lot about the plot, but like, it's a murderer's row. Murderess's row.
Yes. Is it nicer?
When
she gets sent to prison and Mama Morton is telling her, like, you're going to be in, like, murderer's block or something like that. That's this way. Roxy goes, oh, is it nicer?
I love that. Like, no, of course not. And then, so Roxy, Velma kills her sister and husband.
Yeah, because she finds them together.
Roxy kills her lover. the guy.
The guy from The Wire.
Yeah, and convinces John C. Riley that he was a burglar and killed himself defense.
Fred Casey? Well, he couldn't have been a burglar. He sold us our furniture.
Yeah, I love John C. Riley. He's the most like, oh shucks,
yeah.
and like put upon
kind of
guy
a dummy.
In the world. Yeah, but he nails it.
Yeah.
He really nails it. Everybody nails it in this.
Every number, there's like, let's see, there's All That Jazz, which is kind of the big Velma / show opener. There's Funny Honey, which is Roxy's initial downfall. And then there is Mama. And then there's Cell Block Tango. Like, It's honestly hit after hit. It's also like a perfect template to follow for like a music improv show.
Totally.
Like, opening number, protagonist I wish song.
Yes.
Mama's not necessarily an antagonist, but like she's not an antagonist.
She's fleshing out the world.
And so she gets a number, and then there's the goblins of the town number, Cell Block Tango. And it's just like one after the next. The next character who needs to be introduced gets their number. We get Billy's number, and then we you know, like, Velma gets
to kind of
have her own number of I can't do it alone. Like,
it would be relatively easy to do improvised Chicago because it's not easy, but, like, they spell it out for you exactly the structure that you need to do.
And it's, they trim the fat a lot. My memory of the stage show is there's certainly more songs. And in fact, you hear the melody of one underneath the scenes playing out as like a little nod, but like not necessary. And there's another song that's like pretty fun that they cut, but like they are making every song have like 100% plot driving purpose.
Yes. Yes, totally. Which you don't get in every musical.
You don't.
Like this one is tight, and like some musicals really drag.
And people when they cut songs from big musicals when they adapt them for films, a lot of people are like, "Oh no, they cut such and such song." This show, I don't know that anyone feels terribly precious about the show that they would worry about songs being cut anyway, but also like the movie is the best version. Like,
yeah. It is, which this might be, and we got to talk about this too. This might be the only example of that.
I think I agree. I think you could split hairs over things like Disney because they go the other way. Like
sure,
they'll adapt
a
cartoon into a stage show or whatever.
Yeah,
which
that
I,
feels like it shouldn't. That feels like it shouldn't count.
Right.
But like this might be the only example of a movie musical that is based on a stage musical.
Right.
That is the definitive version.
It's like they said, what show kind of would benefit by being a movie?
Yeah.
Like if the show is, I'm thinking of, I haven't seen Mean Girls, so like I don't know what I'm talking about, but if the show takes place kind of in the real world and the Broadway production, like the set and the costumes also are that, there's no need to make that a movie.
Right.
What would we get out of Dear Evan Hansen as a movie that you wouldn't get better as a show, for example?
Yes,
I even would
think
that about like Spelling Bee. Like,
Spelling Bee,
the conceit is like adults are playing small children. Like,
right.
Why would a movie be better? But like,
Yeah.
This is like, there's kind of nothing in the show, so like, you can make whatever decisions you want in the movie, and they made all the right ones.
Totally. This, I would love to like learn some of the history of how this movie came to be, because it does feel like a, what, like I don't know, like a, not like a lucky shot, but it's just like, especially nowadays, it feels like a one in a million thing to have a movie musical be both A, really good and like undeniably good,
mm-hmm.
and like win an Academy Award for Best Picture good, and then B, be the definitive version of that musical.
Yeah.
Like, that just doesn't happen.
No.
Ever. And it's crazy that it happened in 2002 just for this one show. And then like, why did it stop happening?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like George, what's his name? George Marshall?
Rob Marshall.
Rob Marshall, he has directed other musicals since, but not to as much acclaim. But like, what was he doing in the late, after this? Should have kept doing musicals.
I just wonder, like, what other musicals are
even right for this kind
have
of...
so much to, like, their Chicago worked because it was a skeleton and he put like, yes, the meat and muscles on it.
Totally. Yes, that's so true. I think, well, obviously there's been so many, oh gosh, I mean, like, I don't know. I haven't seen the Mean Girls musical either because I don't want to.
Yeah, I don't really either.
And I heard it's not very good. So I don't like seeing movies when they're not very good. But also Mean Girls is confusing because it's like, it just feels like a cash grab in a way where it's like, well, we have this IP, we might as well make a new movie of the musical of the movie, which is silly. But then like, I've heard it's not very good. And you said the same thing with Dear Evan Hansen. Like that's similar where some, like they were like, oh, we've got this great musical, super popular, let's make a movie of it. Also not very good,
mm-hmm.
which is weird because the stage show was so lauded as being so incredible.
Right.
I wonder, yeah, I don't know. I'm not the best musical theater major, and that I don't know. I don't have like a Rolodex or like, you know, like card catalog,
right,
of musicals in my head of like what would be good or what wouldn't be good, but it does feel like there was this one movie that nailed it, and then ever since then everyone's been, no one even like tried that hard to nail it again,
right?
You know what I mean?
The only thing I can think of is like Hooper with Cats and Les Mis, and like,
sure,
trying, but that's a, Les Mis is a perfect example of the exact opposite, where like,
yeah,
what can a film do that a musical can't? In the case of Les Mis, his assessment of that question was small, like,
yeah,
we can get intimate performances on film, which is true of film,
true,
and not of theater, but like,
right,
Les Miserables is not the one to do that with.
It's not small.
There's nothing small
show
about that play.
No, it's huge. I remember like liking the Les Mis movie when I saw it, and then like in, as I get older,
yeah,
being less and less impressed,
right,
by it. And I think that is like, I remember my college professor being like, that's so stupid that they're doing live vocals for this movie. And I was like, no, I think it's cool. Like, I remember thinking it was really cool that they were doing live vocals for these shots,
yeah,
in Les Mis. And then nowadays I'm like, eh, well, I mean, who cares?
Yeah.
Get the best version you can in studio and then lip sync.
Right.
Like, that's what every musical movie does.
Right.
Like, why
Speaking
why do you have
of,
to innovate?
In the rolling credits of the movie, there were three things toward the end after all the like song credits, you know? And it said, vocal performance for Catherine Zeta-Jones, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Vocal performance for Renee Zellweger, like, it named the three of them, Gear as the third. I was like, wow,
wow.
There must be something in like film law that you have to say that.
Sure. Like some kind of like, you have to specify. Well, I mean, that makes sense because like back in the day, and
yeah,
still
there'd
like,
be like
nowadays,
voice
sometimes,
doubles.
Yeah. Like Audrey Hepburn very rarely sang for herself.
Right.
In her musicals that she did, or she did sing for herself sometimes.
It's just funny. Like, it didn't say it for everybody. It just said those,
yeah,
three because they're on the poster.
Right, the leads, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This movie is very singular in that, in what it achieved,
yeah,
and how good it is and what it set out to do.
You're right,
and
though. It is weird that, like, just like with so many things, you see sort of like the poor man's version of it for the next 3 or 4 years coming out of Hollywood. Like, I might be just not knowledgeable enough, because that is probably the case, but like, what kind of Chicago ripoffs came out in the subsequent years?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't have an answer to that.
No, I don't know. I wonder if I can just find like a list of movie musicals of the last 20 years.
By the way, this was Rob Marshall's first like cinema big studio film that he directed.
Really? Yeah. Dang. That's impressive. By year. Whoa. Going back to 1927. That's a long time ago. Give me the Gary 2000s. Okay, 2002. Chicago. Yep. Okay, great. What came after Chicago? Oh, we had Jonah, a VeggieTales movie. That one was great. Also in 2002. Really good. I mean, nothing the next year, really. Oh, I mean, School of Rock, but that's not really, that wasn't really a musical at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like, there just really wasn't anything in the next couple of years. Oh, Ray, which was, like, a good...
Yeah, but that's more of the music biopic thing.
Right, that was a biopic, not really a musical itself. You got the Phantom of the Opera, the one with, like, Emmy Rossum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There weren't really, like, no one was, like, cashing in.
Yeah.
Which, like, if I had seen Chicago, I'd have been like, let's fucking cash in, yeah. Guys.
Like if you were the head of a studio, you'd be like, is anyone doing cabaret?
Yeah,
can we get that going at least? Like, start talking to people?
I guess the next, like, biggest one that I can see is The Producers in 2005. Which that one might be, maybe considered the, I don't know if it's considered the, like, quintessential version of, but it is a liked version.
Well,
of that,
but,
of
like,
that show.
That's such a snake eating its tail, because that is a movie adaptation of a musical that was an adaptation of a movie.
Right. Oh, and also, of course, 2005 brought us Rent. So there's that. But that's so different.
Yeah, but that might be
Chicago.
The example of what I'm saying. Mm. Like, what can we do based on how successful Chicago was? You don't know it's a success until it is. So, like,
Right. Then
you're like, okay, can we maybe get Rent going? And by the time it comes out, it's 3 years later. That kind of adds
right.
up.
That's probably true. And then you got Dreamgirls in 2006, okay. which was... So like
that's kind of in that
probably,
ballpark, the like live performer on stage sort of thing.
These probably are the ones that people were like, we got to get these going. This is so funny, like going through this list, because like these are the times when I was going to see movies as a like 14-year-old
right.
or like a young man.
Right.
And so I've seen so many of these. And then 2007 had one, so that doesn't really count because that was
that doesn't count.
A new
It's
a new
almost
movie.
Hard to even call that a musical. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Sweeney Todd in 2007.
Uh-huh.
So there's that. I could keep going, but this might be boring.
No,
to
but
to.
That I think this is the thing I was saying. It seems as though not quite to the tune of our Marvel reality we're living in, but like it seems as though there was a musical every year.
Yeah, it seems like that. Basically. It does seem that way. They were going for it for a while, but none of them like reached the echelon.
No.
Of Chicago, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? Is like Mamma Mia, the movie, came out in 2008.
Oh, wow.
It seems so long ago because with the sequel that came out, like, you know, in, I don't know what, 2018?
Yes, or certainly more recently.
Yeah, in the last like 5 years, it feels like Mamma Mia came out so much
you
sooner
know,
than
I
2008.
You know, I think the thing that this has that all these other movie adaptations don't have, like I was saying a second ago, what can you do with a movie you can't do with a musical? Like, it does do that.
Yes.
It brings so much color and beef to this. But it still does live theater. It has the energy of live theater performance. Like, this is a crazy thing to say, but almost like how High School Musical does. Where, like, they have the big choreographed numbers that are the type of thing you would see on a stage. Like, Status Quo or whatever. Like, a big group dance number. Because the director of those movies was a choreographer by trade. Like that's the thing that like was entirely missing from the Les Mis movie was like the big everybody at the lip of the stage, like parking and barking.
Yes, park and bark, stand in line downstage.
Or
in
Chicago, there's the person singing, there's the two or three other people like who are prominent characters, and then there's the like 40 ensemble people, like the puppets in the press conference. What's that? Both Reach for the Gun. And like the Cell Block Tango Girls, there's the six, but then of course there's the like 30 upstage, the silhouettes in the cages, the cells, like Even honestly, even Mr. Cellophane, it's just him on stage. And then it cuts to the audience, like where there ought to be an audience, and there's only a couple of people, and they're sitting and they're lit too, so you can see that there's only like one or two people watching, and they're like not having a good time. Like,
right.
Razzle Dazzle is a literal three ring circus.
Yes, it's so. Yes. Okay, so here's what I want to. Before we go to the break, because like, we need to go to the break
soon. Spend a lot of money to shoot a big musical number.
Yes. I think that like the closest one to like a really good. Movie musical that we got recently was the In the Heights movie.
Yes.
Which I really enjoyed and I thought elevated the source material.
Yeah.
And that one had
a big number
similar,
in the swimming pool.
Yes, big numbers, yeah. Right? Huge choreography. Like, make it big. Do like, you can only have so many people on a stage,
right.
But in a movie, you can have like 300 people doing a dance, right. And it's going to look amazing.
You know, maybe Tick, Tick, Boom?
Sure, I still haven't seen that.
That might be the movie is good, and like West Side Story, people say is like one of the best movies of all time. So maybe that's also one where like the original film was the
definitive one. Yes, the definitive version. Totally, I think it's like, yeah, I want to know. Okay, here's what's weird. Before we go to the break, because we mentioned this earlier a little bit, like movies are ashamed to be musicals now.
Yeah,
which is strange because honestly. There have been some pretty good ones recently in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Because just going through this list of like all the musicals that came out in the musicals.
Uh-huh.
If we go back to like, sure, 2018, why not?
Cats was sometime in the last 5 years.
Cats was 2019. That's the thing is I wonder.
Cats was bad.
Oh gosh, my mic is falling. Okay. I wonder if everyone got so scared of Cats.
Yeah. Maybe
that they are now allergic. Afraid.
Yeah.
Yes, they're allergic. That they are now afraid to market things as musicals.
Yeah, maybe
because Cats is 2019. What else came out that year? Anything else like good musical wise? Not really. No, not really. A Rocket Man, but once again, that's a biopic.
Yeah.
But like in 2018, A Star Is Born came out, which had a huge impact.
Was great.
Everyone loved A Star Is Born. Never saw it because I'm bad at movies, but everyone loved it. And like it brought Shallow into the you know, the universe. And then you have one stinker in 2019 that really throws everyone off. And then, I don't know, 2020 was a bad year for movies in general because nothing came out.
Yeah.
But you had The Prom, which wasn't very good. That's the only one I know of there. 2021, you have Dear Evan Hansen, which wasn't very good. But then you have In the Heights, which was really good.
Yeah. Well, and somewhere in there,
Boom,
I think maybe
really
even
what,
it was
babe?
2020 that West Side Story came out.
What about the 2020 musical Ratatouille?
Oh, Charlie said, what about the 2020 musical Ratatouille?
Yeah, that counts.
The Ratatouille.
But
totally
West Side
counts.
Story, I think the Spielberg one came out in maybe 2020, wasn't
21,
it?
21, 2021. Yeah, also.
Because there was still
also,
the kind
yeah.
of COVID stink, and it
yes.
didn't do well, but like. Studios are like, it's because it's a musical. And it's like, no, it's because people are still scared of movie theaters.
Yeah, no one was going to the movies yet.
Yeah.
I wonder, I think it had to have been Cats and maybe Dear Evan Hansen to a
certain
extent.
Cats and COVID.
Cats and COVID maybe killed the movie musical where now everyone's like ashamed to be one.
Which is funny because this movie and the other ones that we were just saying of like kind of the immediate successes thereafter, or especially even things like way, way, way olden days Hollywood, like when basically
sure.
every movie was a big soundstage musical.
Right.
These movies, not only are they not afraid to be musicals, but they are like actively trying to look like musicals. There's
yes,
dancing ensembles.
Totally.
There's like... color
there's this
like
literal stage
set stagecraft yeah whereas
yeah.
like I didn't see Mean Girls I'm trying to think of I didn't see Evan Hansen either but like as far as I know those are like
they're like
real and like one person singing or something
yes which is boring
yeah, it's boring
that's boring watching I don't want to watch Ben Platt like sing anxiously
that I think is the magic that keeps drawing us back to High School Musical that and the fact that they're
sure.
sort of like confoundingly crazy but like
yeah they're insane
the
but also
big
they are
dance
like
numbers when there's like
yeah
60 teenagers dancing in unison it's like exciting
totally it is exciting it's interesting because like 2023 didn't really bring us until the end of the year you had Wonka which wasn't marketed as a musical The Color Purple which was like didn't even include any, like, had music playing over the trailer, but didn't really, like, intimate that it was a musical. Right. And then Mean Girls, which entirely ignored the fact that it was a musical, right. which came out in this year. But, like, yeah, I guess it was Cats and COVID that did it.
Cats
that
and
killed
COVID.
The movie musical. Cats and COVID. What are you going to do? I don't know. Should we go to the break?
Yeah, we've gone long.
We've gone long.
It's funny that I knew this would happen. I was like, I basically didn't pick up my phone once the movie started because, like, what, are you going to take notes while you're watching this?
Yeah, it's so exciting.
Clacking around. Like
clacking.
When we were
tap dancing, for God's sake.
Especially Cell Block Tango, like, dancing that is just, like, so, like, sharp and, like, precise and perfect. And, like, during the big chorus, the He Had It Coming chorus, Caitlin was just going, like, ha, ho, ha. Ka, 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 ka. Like
karate,
like as though we were choreographing it. Like
yes,
and
a one, and a two, and go, and ba da ba da ba.
God, it's like so good.
Yeah, it's really good. All right, let's go to the break.
Okay, we
Hi, Jay.
Hey, Caitlin. We're the co-hosts of a little podcast called Gimme That D.
Did that get your attention?
It's a Disney Channel original movie breakdown podcast.
We are breaking down all of your favorite childhood movies that aired on the Disney Channel from 96 to 06, the golden age of cinema.
Adair. We are two F-list comedians with a lot of A-list comedian friends, and together we break down and celebrate these absolutely batshit crazy films.
So we're talking aloof parents.
Inexplicable plots.
Full cuts responsible for sexual awakenings the world over.
And we ask the hard-hitting journalistic questions like, what the fuck is this?
And could we have maybe taken a second pass at that script?
Oh, but we love them.
Oh, God, yes.
So listen to us wherever you get your podcasts.
To stay in the know of what movie we're covering each week and who our guest is, follow us on Instagram at GMTDpod.
Yeah, but for real, do it.
And we're Mr. Cellophane.
Okay, welcome, Cellophane.
Welcome, Cellophanes.
Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, welcome back.
Man, what's the line that I listen to the soundtrack like kind of a lot. Not a lot, but like I do listen to it somewhat frequently. And some of the dialogue is in the songs, you know?
Yeah.
And now I'm trying to remember what the Amos line was, but I think it's during a funny honey of mine when he's being interviewed by the police and she's singing about how he like ran his mouth and like stepped in it and you know,
yeah.
And I'm trying to remember the line he says, but it's something like, I'm telling you that. And then like, there's a little pause and then he says again, I said, I'm telling you that. And I like,
I'm
said
telling
it, like,
you
right
that
before he did. And then he said it and Caitlin laughed.
Amazing.
Okay.
First off, before we start the game, I have really, really bad news.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Okay. So forthcoming musicals.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, your audio hasn't been recording.
No, this is once again me being
facetious.
Hyperbolic. First off, forthcoming musicals in 2024. We've got, this is what I have really bad news about. We have some that are going to be, you know, maybe good, probably not. Like, The Wicked Part 1, because for some reason they're splitting that into two parts.
That didn't need to happen.
It's very silly to split this musical into two parts. It's just a cash grab, whatever.
Make it long. Make it 3 hours.
Make it long. Make it a three-hour musical.
Fine.
That's fine. I go to see three-hour musicals in person. It's fine.
So stupid.
Very stupid. But the bad news I have is that the Joker sequel is apparently
Folie à Deux.
An upcoming American musical thriller film.
It makes me want to see the slog through the first one so that I'm not going to be like missing anything because I'm like morbidly curious about the Joker sequel because Gaga's in it.
Gaga's playing Harley Quinn, which is crazy.
I think it's going to be a fucking mess.
Oh, it's going to be probably bad.
And I kind of really have to see it.
I really want to know, is it actually a musical or is it just have songs in it?
We talked about this recently. I can't remember if this was the Patreon or not, but about method acting.
Yes.
Is like men trying to make their job harder or whatever to seem cooler.
Yes, it was in the Patreon, yeah.
It would seem as though like the one exception to that of like the last 10 years is Lady Gaga. Like she like anytime she does interviews about like House of Gucci or Star is Born or whatever, she talks about like her acting process and it's like, oh no.
Yeah, she does go like all
and
in.
What's his face did for Joker, didn't he?
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix,
yeah. Yeah. I really gotta know if they're both gonna be like, and now what do you want to know how I got these scars? Or if it's just going to be like a Lady Gaga song over the credits. Like, I need to know. But anyways, that's my terrible news, that the Joker sequel is apparently going to be a musical.
Yes, no, I was aware of
that. That's just insane. I can't deal. Okay. Take me to the game, please.
Game
I got to get out of here.
It's called, I don't know, City Song.
City Song.
So in the spirit of the musical movie Chicago that takes place in Chicago, I have a list of Broadway musicals that have a song that is the name of a city, or that the name of a city is included in the title. So the game is, I'm going to say the musical. I know you said you don't have like an absolutely encyclopedic knowledge, but I also know that you literally went to school for musical theater.
I know some of them. I know a couple of them.
It ought to be a splitting of the difference.
Yeah.
So I will say the name of the musical, and then you will say the song in that musical that has a city in its title. And for the most part, the city's name is the title, but there's a couple that's not exactly true.
Gotcha.
So I'm going to move my screens around so I can keep looking forward. Funny enough, the movie Chicago does not have a song called Chicago, or for that matter, any city.
Interesting. You're right.
All right. The first musical is Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
There's No Place Like London?
Yes.
Thank you.
I think, isn't also Worst Pies in London also in it?
Worst Pies in London,
yes,
thank
London.
You.
But yes, London. All right, the next one is On the Town.
Oh! On the Town. This is on like the tip. This is on like the tip of my tongue. I want to say New York?
Yes, and it's famously the city so nice.
They named it twice. New York, New York. Thank you.
All right, the next one is one of the ones that Caitlin and I saw last time we were in New York, Parade.
Oh, yes. What's in Parade? Gosh, I'm not very familiar with Parade, but I know... Where does it take place?
Yeah, that's the answer.
Where does it take place? I can't remember. I'm just going to do a wild guess. Paris.
No, it's not Paris. It is The Dream of Atlanta.
Oh,
or Anthem,
oh, right,
colon,
right,
the Dream
right,
of
right, right.
There's
right.
actually a couple songs that have the name Atlanta in it.
Interesting. Okay, I forgot that it took. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Here's one that is a Hsui entry. As in fact, it was from our debut. Year that we did Junesicle Theater Month. It wasn't from the very first musical we did, but it was from that year with special guest Luke Null. It is The Music Man.
Gary, Indiana,
that
baby.
Correct.
That musical sucks.
Just drove through that town a couple of days ago.
And it is scary.
It is scary, Indiana. All right, the next one is The Book of Mormon.
Salt Lake City.
Yes, that is correct.
Yes.
After that, I have Hairspray.
Good morning, Baltimore.
That is correct.
Yeah.
After that, this is my favorite one, probably Oklahoma. We also covered on this show.
Everything's up to date in Kansas City.
Yeah, that's why it's my favorite question on this list, because it is not in Oklahoma.
No, it's not.
It's the giant metropolis that the guy came back from.
Yeah, he's like, you got to see Kansas City.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Man, there's four of the musicals on this list are ones we've covered on the show. We've gotten through two
so far.
That's
amazing.
Up next, Annie.
Oh, Annie. I don't think I've actually ever seen Annie, or even a movie of it. Have you seen a movie of Annie? I don't know. New York again.
It is New York, but that is not the name of the song.
The Big Apple.
No.
Beantown.
It's not Beantown.
What is it? What is it?
Would it help if I said...
I probably know the song. I just can't think of it.
Just got here this morning. $3, two bags, one me.
What is it? That is like, it's, what is it?
NYC.
I know
the,
and me, okay.
No, just NYC.
NYC, yeah. Thank you. Next.
Okay, next is Rent. That's another one we've done on this show.
Oh. Weirdly, Santa Fe?
Yes, that's right.
Because Newsies is also
Santa Fe. My next question was Newsies.
Yes, also Santa Fe.
Yeah.
I just love that these two musicals are like, you know where we gotta get to?
Yeah.
Santa Fe. Yeah. Which Santa Fe is a great city. And like, I love Santa Fe. I've been there many times, but it's just so funny that two different musicals were like, that is the place to be for my I Wish number.
Okay, a couple more. Miss Saigon.
Oh, never seen it. Saigon.
I haven't either. No, it is One Night in Bangkok. Although, I don't know. There might be a song that has the name Saigon in it.
Is that a city or a country? I don't even know.
Isn't that in Thailand? Or Vietnam? Saigon is in Vietnam, isn't it?
Oh, sure.
Am I stupid?
No, I'm stupid because I am looking it up. Oh, it's in Vietnam, yeah. Ho Chi Minh City is Saigon.
Yeah.
Formerly known as Saigon. There we go. Now we figured
it out. Okay, and last but not least, also done on this show, Company.
What is it?
I love this one too because it's even trickier than Oklahoma.
And another 100 people getting off of the train.
That song is definitely about New York City, but it's not titled like.
Right.
In New York.
Oh, Barcelona.
Yes.
Thank you. Oh.
That is such
Where
a like.
Where you going,
trick.
Barcelona?
That song kind of could not be in the show.
Right. It is the maybe least memorable song. I was hanging out with a friend the other day, a couple friends, and we were talking about just like Company, and then like he foolishly was like, "Oh, he like said that." Being Alive wasn't the most famous song in Company, and we were like, I'm sorry, what do you think of
it? Did he say it was Ladies Who Lunch?
Yeah, he was like, Ladies Who Lunch, and we were like, I guess maybe, but like,
you
come
could
on.
You could make that argument, but yeah, that is sort of like funny.
Yeah, it was a weird like take for him to have. We were like, that's a strange like hill to die on. Oh,
here's,
man. Okay,
here's how I would make that call, which is funny. Barbara Streisand has a like Broadway hits record that we found at like a bin somewhere, and I'd say at least half of the songs on the record are Sondheim songs.
Yeah,
and one she does is Being Alive, and another she does is a sort of like mashup, if you will, of Ladies Who Lunch and Pretty Women.
Wow.
And it like works because it's all Sondheim, so like you can kind of dovetail any of his stuff a little bit. But
sure.
Because of that, as being like this is a record that we're releasing just to like the world because it's Barbara, and one of them is on its own and another shares the spotlight, I would say Being Alive is more famous.
I think that's a fair assessment, and also I agree. Well, gosh, we're already at an hour. I know we just finished the game. Should we just like try to give it a rating?
Oh God, we didn't talk about Star Wars.
We didn't talk about Star Wars at all.
We talked
a lot about Chicago, but not a lot about Star Wars.
I want to actually look up really quick the film that came out in the same year, Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones.
And see what awards it got. So it was nominated at the Academy Awards for visual effects, and that was the only Oscar it was nominated for, which makes
sense. Interesting. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, the rest are like Razzies and shit.
Yeah, of course.
So it's flashy. It kind of, the poster sort of does the opposite of Star Wars, where it's two girls and one boy.
Okay.
But no, it's not like Star Wars at all.
No.
Star Wars doesn't kind of play with reality and perception like that.
No.
There are prisons, there are deaths, there are scummy people and whatever, but like, I mean, music, it's got great music, but
got
good
music.
And evil, it's just kind of like all different shades of evil, as it were.
Yeah. We also, I mean, we have yet to see a Star Wars musical. I was gonna say maybe the Lego stuff has like songs in it, but I don't know for sure if it does.
I'm not sure it does.
But Michael Delaney would know. Michael Delaney, please let us know.
Yeah.
But like we have yet to get a straight up musical, like Star Wars musical thing. The closest thing that we have is that Lin-Manuel Miranda helped write a song for Force Awakens,
right.
And that's like just because he's a musical theater person, not because it is a musical
itself. Well, and that type of song, or like the Jizz songs, are like as close as you could get to this, because they are like the band in the thing is diegetically playing the music, you know?
Right, right. And it's more like, it feels more like a vaudeville or like, you know.
And it's like the CD criminal underbelly, the jazz liquor.
And liquor. Yeah. So it's not, and this one also just is so successful, and so Chicago is so successful and so award-winning and so like artfully done. Yeah. So in a way it's very, it could be like a New Hope-ish.
Yeah, like original trilogy-ish, where there's
or
like
Empire Strikes
real
Back
filmmaking craft going on.
Right. And to an extent the prequels, where you have a very like, not necessarily a good product, but a very meticulous filmmaker that is like going through frame by frame and putting together what he wants.
Here's one. You know, they say Star Wars was saved in the edit. I'm not saying that this was saved in the edit, because there's clearly the creative vision at the outset that it kind of has. It's like two movies layered on top of one another. But like the editing is doing a lot of really cool creative work.
It is key. Absolutely is key.
Oh, the thing I was going to say earlier, the sort of like fantasy sequences when you kind of have your big number, for the most part, your counterpart in that reality is like much bigger and sexier and cooler. And the thing that is like such a cool play on that is Billy.
Mm.
His introduction is, you see these two silhouettes at the top of this big platform, and one has got a big old suit on and the other is like polishing his shoes, and then like the spotlight goes on the guy polishing his shoes and it's Billy, and he's just like, I don't care about expensive things. And that's his like fantasy version of himself, and in the real world he's like a big like slick lawyer who only cares about money.
Right. Yes, totally. A nice subversion.
Yes.
Man, it's just like, also like Star Wars doesn't get like, you know, outside of the set of visual effects, Star Wars doesn't get nominated for acting awards.
No.
You know, it's so different. I don't know. Yeah, it's not going to be very Star Wars, I don't think.
Yeah, in fact, the handful of effect shots that do happen in this, I don't think are super great. It's a lot of those like exterior shots where it's like the Chicago theater and like a little buggy car drives by or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
Let's see. Costumes are good.
Yeah, colorful characters for sure.
If this were how Wild Wild West is it, we would have had to have had a whole side conversation about the boobies.
Boobies for sure. Yeah.
Let's see.
It's just it's got colorful characters. It's got good music. Star Wars is not a musical. It is a movie.
It is a movie.
There's not really it's not really a hero's journey. It's almost like the opposite of that, where it's like a villain's journey.
It's like, how can you like fake a narrative that is the hero's journey?
Yeah, totally. It's like the it's like an inverse of it, which is interesting.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's almost like opposite Star Wars.
It kind of is opposite. It's like, it's like negative Star Wars. Nega Star Wars.
It's a musical. It's like two realities converging on one another. It is.
It knows a villain's journey. Musical. Yes, and it's happy to be a musical.
It's just the seedy underbelly parts of Star Wars. It's not the battles. It's not the flashy ships.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah.
Man, I'm grasping. I don't know that there's really much more Star Wars to it.
I don't think
Oh, wait. Should we do the are there any actors in common thing?
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
None that are immediately jumping out at me.
None that immediately come to mind. Not from the starring, like, the ones on Wikipedia that are, like, the actual main cast. Oh, you do have Danny Elfman on the music for this one, which we oftentimes say he's sort of the poor man's John Williams, which is funny to say because he's definitely his own, like, very prolific composer.
It's Miramax. It's not Fox or Disney.
Yeah, I don't see any real Star Wars connections as far as, like,
there's not a laser.
There's no lasers, no. Yeah, let's just give this dang thing a rating because it's not very Star Wars.
And then they're friends in the end because showbiz is the one industry where you can work with someone you hate, or whatever the line is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to work with you. I hate you.
Yes, totally.
That's the good part about this business.
Yeah. That's like us. We hate each other. Yeah, we're in showbiz, baby.
I saw in that last number where they like dance and sing together, which like they are both doing a great job, but this tweet was funny, so I figured I'd say it anyway, especially since you know like musical theater lingo. it showed the clip of Roxy and Velma doing their big kind of finale number at the end of the movie. And, you know, Catherine Zeta-Jones is just like so precise the entire time. And she's just like, move in. That number of I Can't Do It Alone, where she's essentially doing two people's worth of singing and dancing. And it's just like so, mm-hmm. so good. So anyway, it showed the clip of the two of them dancing. And it was like, wow, this is like a textbook example of a mover and a dancer in the same yeah. number.
totally. I'm
a mover at best.
Yeah, yeah. Mover first, honestly, yeah. for me. Not a dancer, not a singer, not an actor. Mover. Yeah. Put me up to, I'll step touch all day.
I maybe have said this on the show before. I can't remember, but we were at a rehearsal for a show one time, and a couple of us had done a version of the show before. It was like a remount with some retooling. So we had worked with everybody before. We knew the music to a degree. So it wasn't as hard for us to pick it up, which like you wouldn't think about, but if someone was new to it and also had to learn it, you would understand that they would be like, how does everybody know this already?
So totally.
This person who is like an excellent dancer, you know, all these people involved. So I'm just like saying this person or whatever, but, we took like a break at one point and was like, oh my God, this is like, I'm like not getting it. And, mm-hmm. The person, not me, the other person who was in the show before said, don't worry. That's just like how it's going to be for a little bit. A lot of us have done this before. And look, we, and she points to me and her and goes, look, it's okay. We don't dance. And I was like, thanks.
We don't.
Yeah, I mean, we don't, but like, thanks for including me in that.
Yeah.
In that that's funny. Burn.
Yeah, I have done many a, so I when I first did musicals, I was like, you know, regular musicals, and I was in the summer stock show where I was in the chorus, and we had to like, it was heavy movement and singing.
Yeah.
And so I've always been like decent at picking up choreography, but like I was in a lot of actor instrumentalist shows uh-huh. where like I was dealing with like actor instrumentalists who were like, I play guitar.
Right.
I don't move around.
Yeah.
And so then we would have like choreographers being like, okay, so now come over here. And they're like,
huh?
What the fuck are you saying to me? What do you want me to do?
And what am I doing with my hands during that?
Yeah, you're playing guitar too. Wait, what? And I was like coming from a background of like being more of a mover. And so I would always be like, okay, it's going to be, I was kind of like that person for them. Yeah. I'd be like, it's going to be okay. Yeah. You can play guitar and walk. I promise. Yeah. You're going to figure it out.
But I'm chewing gum.
Yeah. At the same time.
Okay, well, one, you shouldn't because you're in a musical.
That's okay. Dangerous. Spit out your gum in my hand. Yeah. I'm going to throw it away. I'm going to shame you. All right, let's give it a rating and get out of here. We're running along. I'm going to say my unit of measure is going to be bright bulbs in the background.
Mine's gonna be I hadn't even thought about this. What do we do with a unit of measure?
Yeah, and sometimes they're funny and sometimes they're not.
Mine's gonna be guns.
Guns.
In my bureau.
I love it. I'm gonna give it a 2 because it feels like it shouldn't get any higher than that.
It's colorful and it has music. That's like as much as I can manage.
Yeah, totally.
I feel like it doesn't make any sense to just say 1 because that would be if it was like a broken pencil that we were reviewing.
Like milk. Yeah.
But like 2 feels high.
2 does feel high, honestly, with everything we've said. I'm going to stick with 2. You can give it, maybe, I don't know.
I could make an argument for 2. I think I'll say 2 as well.
Okay, well, there you have it.
It's not a broken pencil.
No, it's not a broken pencil. It's not a glass of milk. It's a movie.
There's characters, there's music, there's life.
I had the thought the other day, I was like, we should do something so specific.
Yeah.
Like, a broken pencil made me think of it. I was like, because Charlie's been watching Drag Race again, and I was like, what if we did, like, an episode of Drag Race? Like, not a season, not the show, like season 10, episode 8 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
That's a good
like,
idea.
Like, I think we should do that at some point. Anyway, so do you want to say the internet? Because if you do, you can find us at How Star Wars Is It on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. You can email us at agoodpodcast@gmail.com. Let's see if we got any more spam, any more funny spam. Oh, we did. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, God. AI impression from what looks like another real email. Hello, dear House Star Wars, is it? Mm-hmm. I checked your website and was impressed with the design. We don't have a website. I have an offer you cannot dismiss for the opportunity of a lifetime to boost the act of engaging. All you have to do is sign for a package that will be arriving. In order to be the recipient of the tracking number, you first must address me with the details of the location of your business. The details personnel must stamped into the reply for forward momentum.
Just confirm, think, if yes. You sent us an email, you could be hearing your email read here in this segment.
Confirm, yes. Take it so. Looking forward in good time. Like what?
Did you ever see the character that Vanessa Bayer did a handful of times on Weekend Update in her like last year or two, where she was like a weather person and she like never said anything really, but she talked the whole time?
I think I do remember that.
God,
yes.
It's so funny. That like kind of reminded me of that.
It is the same idea. It's just so, it's just word salad. It's ridiculous. Talk about the Patreon.
We also have a Patreon. If you want to support the show, give us your dollars, and in exchange, get a weekly bonus episode plus the entire back catalog. Commentaries, RPGs, improv. I think there's some video. There's also a Discord server. All of that is available. Over 100-something-odd backlog of bonus episodes. And that is only $5 a month if you want all of that stuff. You can give more. You can give less.
Yeah, we don't care.
And let's see. We also... So we would love that. That's patreon.com/howstarwarsisit. patreon.com/howstarwarsisit. Give us $5.
Please.
We're going to work on that slogan, but I think that's the one to beat at this point. How Star Wars
give
is
us
$5. Give us $5.
Please. Please, mommy.
And we also have... it's February now, so we... Josiah and I are both part of... Anarchy, the improvised rock opera here in Chicago, the city of the musical's namesake. You want to see a musical in Chicago? Come see us do an improvised one.
Yes, please.
We're at the IO Theater on Thursday nights. If you're in town, if you live here, or if you're coming here, reach out to us either on the Instagram or on one of our own Instagrams or Twitter or whatever, and we can tell you if we're in the show that night or not.
Yeah. All right, do it. And see which is a Star Wars. It's about time for Tubby Bye Bye. So, like we always say,
we
love you.
And may the fourth be with you.
Bye-bye.
Bye
bye.
And we're jazz. That's what we should have said when we came back from the break.
Duh. Let's do the whole show again.